Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joe Vardon from The Athletic, who is suffering with the Cleveland Cavaliers. I mean, I don't know. Maybe not suffering. Maybe you're having as good a time as Colin Sexton is, Joe. I don't know. Are you?
I always say they pay me the same, and it's a great job.
That's true.
Comparing this to the last 4 years, you have to say it's not quite the same.
Is there less pressure though, right? Like talking about player pressure on the players, is there less pressure on you, Joe?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's just I think the last time we talked, maybe we talked about this a little bit. Like you do get used to it. You get used to the losing. You get used to the lack of pressure and lack of attention, and just sort of, you know, everything's all right. Except they hit such a bad rut, and they went from bad to unwatchably bad. And so that was an issue. And you know, frankly, I myself and a lot of other people were shocked that they beat the Lakers on Sunday. And it's just going to be a tough year for these guys to get through. That's what they got to do. They just got to find a way to get through it.
Yeah, it's tough to watch them. I mean, like every night. I mean, they're getting blown out by 20 points, 25 points. You know, I watched a little bit of that game last night. You know, they were competitive for a quarter, like they always are typically, and then they just kind of fall apart. It's like it's real frustrating. You know, like what do we have to look forward to with this team, Joe?
Well, I mean, I think you start with Kevin Love. You want to see how he looks when he comes back, which certainly isn't going to be this week, and I really don't think it'll be next week. I talked to him last night, obviously, and after he got done telling me that little bombshell, then he was telling me that he still has to jump, he's got to play 2-on-2 and 3-on-3 and 4-on-4, and he's got to run full court. And you know, I don't know. I don't see it next week. I would be stunned if he plays. But when he comes back, you want to look at that, and then you want to see how this goes at the trade deadline, who they are able to move, what they get for these players in return, and then if this team ever gets healthy. And you have a team that has Colin and Kevin and Tristan and Larry Nance and David Nwaba, you know, Clarkson, Hood, if Hood is still here, by the way, not sure. You know, just see what that looks like. Like how, I mean, is it better? Is it good enough to win a few games? Is it just good enough to just lose by 10 instead of 30? So I think, you know, that's what you have to look forward to, and I wish it was more, but it isn't. It's going to be a bleak year.
Joe Vardon, The Athletic, with us. Joe, you got to break the tie. Now, I know, obviously, Jason, your buddy, doesn't cover the team like he used to. He's not traveling with you guys anymore, but he was on with us, and he said Kevin Love's got no trade value, that with his contract, no interest. Fedor was on with us earlier this week, and he said Kevin Love does have trade value and that the Cavs are only trading him if they get a hole. These are diametrically opposed opinions. Where are you on this?
I think Kevin has trade value this summer. I really do. I don't think that he has it now. I don't see how a contender, especially a contender that's going to have some money issues, which most of these contenders will, I don't see how you could take a gamble on that contract without having seen him play, and he is not ready. Like, if he comes back at all before the trade deadline, it'll be like a week or two. Like, that's not enough. That's not enough. So I would be stunned if somebody took a flyer on him, especially the teams that, you know, like to me, like I would, if I were, you know, it, like I would like to see in a perfect world, I'd like to see Toronto take a run at Kevin. I think he would make them even better than they are and pretty much, you know, end the discussion in the East. But they can't take that risk because they don't know about him, and they don't know if Kawhi Leonard is going to come back. And if he's not, then they got to basically blow it up, and you don't want to have Kevin on your books for 3 years.
Right.
So, you know, I lean more towards Jason on this. I do not see trade value for Kevin right now.
Joe Varden is with us from The Athletic. Joe, there was some interesting comments from Kyrie Irving. Apparently he made a phone call to LeBron after his tirade, his rant, and their three-game losing streak, and LeBron talked about it. What do you make of this whole situation? I said to Bull thinks he's being kind of a baby, kind of a D-bag. I look at it as a guy who looked at LeBron and thought it was going to be easier than it is in Boston to lead.
Well, I mean, obviously, like the rest of the country, I was just fascinated by what he said.
Yep.
And shocked that he called LeBron and couldn't even imagine what that was like. I think that Kyrie is maturing, and I think he's realizing what it is to be the leader of a team and to be the guy that has the championship pedigree. Be the only guy, and that's what's going on in Boston now. Is he all the way there? No, but then again, I mean, LeBron was turned 30 when he came back to the Cavs for the first time, and he still did some childish stuff, you know, calling Kevin out on Twitter and whatever else. So some of this stuff never goes away. I just think the part that's tough to take for Cleveland is. What is Kyrie apologizing for? He's not apologizing for demanding a trade, no. But he's apologizing for the behavior that essentially created that whole scenario. That if Kyrie hadn't bristled as much as he did at LeBron and resented him for the way LeBron treated him and kind of how LeBron was treated within the organization compared to Kyrie, if he had understood then what he knows now, it might have gone differently.
Joe, I get what you're saying, and Dustin feels kind of the same way, and I do think, and I get it, and I get what Kyrie's saying, but it also, to me, there's a big part of this that is Kyrie is saying, hey, LeBron was an arrogant D to me, and I didn't like it, but now I want to be an arrogant D to all these young guys, and they don't like it, so they should like it. I should have liked it when LeBron did it to me. You think that's unfair? Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, again, going back to LeBron, like, when did he ever back down? I mean, LeBron would try to soften the blow. He would say things after the fact to try to soften the blow or to try to, you know, like, he'd call Kyrie a future MVP, stuff like that. But LeBron never said, I shouldn't have said that. And Kyrie actually did kind of say I shouldn't have said those things in public, but right. He wants to make clear that he's right. And so he's not going to let that go. Like his basic point that these dudes don't know what they're doing is right. And he's not going to back away from that.
Do you think it's right? Cause I'm not sure it's right. And Kyrie has, while he does have a championship pedigree, he can't take that away. He's accomplished nothing as the lead dog in his career.
Well, I mean, he hasn't been around very long as a lead dog. And I'm not going to count the first couple years in Cleveland. I mean, those teams were a mess and he was a child. So yeah, I mean, I'm going to back the guys with the ring and I'm going to back the guys who've done it. And Kyrie not only has done it, he not only has arguably the most important shot, in finals history, but he also learned from the best. I mean, he, whatever you want to say about how he behaved and how he forced his way out of Cleveland, before he did that, he mentored under LeBron, and he learned what it takes. And this has not been a good year in Boston. And by the way, I think that Kyrie has played really well, and he's defending. So Kyrie's putting in the effort, and you know, I'm not saying that it's an effort issue in Boston necessarily for a team, but, you know, they have other pieces and parts that aren't meshing and aren't getting it. And, you know, one other thing, guys, about Kyrie is that he is one that takes the regular season a little bit harder than some of the other veterans. Like, Kyrie was really worn down here towards the end about, like, sort of the Cavs malaise during the regular season, whereas LeBron and Richard Jefferson and even Kevin, but certainly Bron, RJ, Tristan, those guys would just laugh it off, you know, because they knew come playoff time they'd flip the switch, and that would drive Kyrie crazy. So
yeah,
he doesn't like losing in the regular season, and that's what's going on here as well.
I guess my beef, Joe, ultimately is that in the when we say, like, you know, LeBron James or Kyrie or whoever, their championship medal, they're right, they've done this. It almost excuses the things they've done wrong along the way, right? It's almost, and like when I crush Dan Gilbert, it often, you know, people, you're always killing Dan Gilbert, you're always defending LeBron, and but there is it's not an all or nothing situation. Like, LeBron did some things to hurt the team. In addition to being a great player, and they never would have gone anywhere without him, he did things to hurt the team. So did Kyrie. So I guess that bothers me, because I feel like that sometimes, I'm not saying you're ignoring it, but I'm just saying I feel like that stuff sometimes gets ignored.
I don't know. I mean, you know, I've been looking at some of the comments to my part of this story, which was that Kevin was with LeBron the night that Kyrie called, and which I don't even know what to say about that. I mean, incredible. But in looking at the comments, I mean, like, people are kind of, they're still remembering when you and Dustin and myself and Dave and Jason all sat down over the summer and just kind of laid this all out. So I think, at least from a Cleveland fan base, I think people are pretty cognizant of what LeBron did in the affirmative for the organization and the city, and also that he always had one eye kind of looking towards LA. And I think everyone's readily aware, very much so aware, of the on-court, you know, contribution that Kyrie made, and also that he pretty much ruined this. I mean, you know, like, Dan shouldn't have traded him. They shouldn't have traded him for IT. That was a bad trade. They probably should have held on to him, I guess, hindsight being 2020. But, you know, Kyrie put them in that compromising position, no doubt.
Yeah, I guess I'm just wondering, like, if I were Jason Tatum, I'm like, I led this team as a rookie last year. You know, it's not like Kyrie's coming to a team that stinks and he's trying to carry them to the champ. You know, they went to Game 7 against LeBron last year, and it was pretty impressive what they did without Hayward and Kyrie. And it feels like, to me, he's dismissing what they accomplished last year.
Yeah, I mean, I think a little bit. I think Brad Stevens has not had a great year, which, like, is, like, you know, that's sacrilegious to say that. But I don't think he has. Just like I thought, at times Ty struggled with the full team. I think Brad is struggling with the full team. Gordon Hayward was not anywhere near his former self at the beginning of the year, and it took forever to move him to the bench. The Celtics play a certain way, and then Kyrie plays much slower than they do, but it's because he can. And when it comes playoff time, when everything slows to a halt, there's nobody you'd rather have, certainly on that team, with the ball in his hands than Kyrie. So, you know, I think there's some kind of grinding of gears there, for sure. So, you know, that is what is going on.
Joe, the final question, you know, LeBron and the Lakers, you know, they're sitting there, you know, just on the cusp of the playoffs, like right around the 7-8 seed. They get in, they're clearly going to get in. But, I mean, like, can they make some noise? Can they knock off the Warriors or any of the top teams in the West?
Yeah, I mean, I thought up until the days after LeBron got hurt, I really thought they were in a pretty good spot. I thought that some of the kids were starting to get it. LeBron was playing great offensively and, of course, managing his energy on the other side. But the Lakers were winning. They were beating good teams. I thought they'd be all right. What I have seen since has just been shocking. You know, I've seen the Lakers play a couple times this week live, and I'm here in Oklahoma City with them tonight. And I just don't get it. I guess I do. They didn't put any shooting on the team, but, you know, they're so much worse than they were playing as individuals than when LeBron was out there. So I still think, I still hate to bet against LeBron, and if he's healthy come playoff time, I think the Lakers can handle almost anyone. But the rule of thumb, and we've said this since the summer, guys, I've said it on your show a number of times, the Lakers will probably be okay until they face the Warriors.
Yeah.
So whenever that is, like, if it's in the first round, LeBron's out in the first round. If it's in the conference finals, he's out in the conference finals. If Houston somehow stuns the Warriors in seven, which I don't see, you know, then, hey, then there's a puncher's chance LeBron could get to a ninth straight finals. But I just, that's hard to imagine. And so you think they're going to make it, and you think they're going to play the Warriors early, and you think they're going to be out.
Joe, good stuff as always, man. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, Joe Vardon from The Athletic.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.